Hi, thanks for joining us on Hometown to Hollywood. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide, and this is part two of my conversation with Cameron Boyce. Cameron has done many film and TV projects, but he's best known for his roles in Mirrors, Eagle Eye, Grown Ups and Grown Ups 2, Jesse, Gamer's Guide to Pretty Much Everything, Descendants and Descendants 2. Now, if you missed part one, be sure to go back and catch it. Meanwhile, let's listen to part two. You talked a bit about what became auditioning advice that was, I think, really fine auditioning advice. I really loved that. Mm-hmm. Is there any other auditioning advice that you'd like to share with people? Because people are always looking for that hot tip that will, like, make all the difference. How do I do this, Cam?
No, honestly, man, first of all, I don't even know how many auditions I've gone on in my life. We always look at, like, an IMDb page, and we're like, whoa, this person has done six projects. Yeah, six projects is a lot of projects. But to get those six projects, you have to do, like, 600 auditions. It's not, you know, so people do four or five auditions, and they're like, oh, I didn't get a callback. I feel so distraught, and I don't know what to do, and maybe this is not cut out for me. Like, no. Persistence is one of the most important things as an actor. Like, I've been on so many auditions. It's crazy. And when you get that call that you booked something, it makes it that much better because you've put in the work and you put in the time, and that's sort of how it is. But I think, man, auditioning, and every audition is a little different. So you can't really go in with a mindset of, like, this is how it's going to be. This is how I'm going to do things. And like I said before, you got to sort of leave that at the door and be flexible and roll with the punches. But I think one of the most important things about auditioning, the casting director is never really looking for, it's really rare that a casting director is looking specifically for, like, a breakout star. What a casting director is looking for is the correct person to play this character. You know what I mean? A lot of people go in and they're like, I'm gonna be this big, and I'm like, jazz hands, like, that's not what it is. You have to go in and present your performance in a way that speaks volumes for that character, and not specifically for, like, I want to be the next this person. And a lot of people do that, and they go in thinking, like, well, if I play it like this actress, or, like, it's not how it goes. They're almost always looking for somebody who just fits the character. That's the most important thing, and that's always what they're looking for. And that's why you can't be super upset when you don't get things, because there are so many times I've heard, like, oh, no, we loved you, but you were too short. Oh, no, we loved you, but the freckles, it just doesn't really go with, you know, the South. Like, if I'm playing, like, a Confederate kid, I look mixed. Like, that's just not gonna happen.
Probably you're not,
right?
Yeah.
So it just is what it is, and you have to understand that. And when all the stars align, it's really special. It's very, very special. So, you know, you just have to be really patient and persistent. And the other thing that I would say, and it's sort of, it doesn't contradict what I just said, but, you know, there are two sides to everything. Go in knowing that you're, you know, one of 1,000,000,000 people that they're looking for. So, you know, that's something that you have to think about and understand, so that you don't beat yourself up when you don't book things. But leave them with a little something to remember you by. Just a little bit. Like, don't overdo things, because then they'll just remember you as the person who overdoes things. But just pick a line where you just do it a little different than other people would. And you might not be right for that character, you might not be right for that project, but they'll say, hey, you remember that one person? They might be good for this. You know what I mean? So you, and when you go in enough and you see the same people, you go to the same casting offices and stuff, they get to know you, just throw in a little bit of personality somewhere. Just sprinkle it on, because, and especially if you really feel that you're just not right for the role, just go in and just throw caution to the wind. Just do it. Just, you know, have fun. That's the most important thing. If you're visibly nervous and you're, you know, sort of like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to do well, or you're questioning yourself, they're going to see that. And honestly, if you go into an audition tomorrow morning and that's how you felt and you were like, your script was shaking, that's going to happen. I was working on Jesse for, I think, 5 or 6 years, and I did Gamers for another 2. So I hadn't been on an audition in like 7 years. I went in for my first audition in that long, and trust me, literally, like the paper was visibly shaking, like, single bead of sweat. Like, I was, because I forgot.
Yeah.
I forgot. And when something is so important to you, you really want to do well, and you start putting pressure on yourself, and, you know, you get crazy. But the key is just to remember that it's one audition out of a bazillion. And, you know, if you're supposed to book that role, if that role is really right for you, then you'll probably be in the mix. You'll probably be in there. So just don't beat yourself up, because if you beat yourself up, you're going to get sick of it really, really quickly.
That is good advice. What has surprised you about this whole adventure?
That's a good one, Bonnie.
That's why I'm here, Cam.
Yeah, nicely done. Man, I mean, a lot of things, I guess, but I think the thing that surprises me the most, I've never really gotten used to the impact that I've had on people, you know? And, like, when I walk out of my house, I still am like, oh, nobody's gonna recognize me like that. Like, I still do that. And people do recognize me. And I, you know, sometimes I hear these stories about, like, oh my gosh, like, I was going through a really tough time this past week, and I turned on an episode of Jesse, and you were really funny, and I really appreciate that you, like, brought that to my day, and, like, you brought me joy when I needed it, and thank you. And I don't really think about that, because I like to sort of return to normal life when I leave set, when I can. But when I hear stories like that, all I can think of is like, wow, that's really cool. So, you know, you do things, like, a lot of people do things and they don't really think about kind of effect it has, but my butterfly effect is, like, really broad. Like, it's I reach a lot of people in a lot of different parts of the world, and, you know, my world is very small. I have a very selective group of friends. You know, I don't really hang out with a whole bunch of people. I don't do a lot of partying or anything like that. Like, I'm sort of a homebody, but my work reaches a lot of places and a lot of people, and it affects a lot of people, and changes a lot of people, and, you know, that's something that I still can't fully wrap my head around, and maybe it's better that I can't wrap my head around it, because the weight of that is really heavy. But yeah, I mean, I've read things, like, I see things on Instagram where people are like, I'm really, really having a difficult time, but your performance in this show or this movie has inspired me to, like, keep going. I literally just sent a direct message to a girl who was talking about how, you know, she doesn't, you know, feel like she has a purpose and all of these things. And I just said, like, you do have a purpose. And I just want you to know that I'm here for you, and all of the people who support me will support you, and, you know, that's, just remember that, you know. I just sort of threw that out there, and I had never talked to this person before, and her username was, like, Cameron something, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And, what it meant to her was, like, the crazy, like, you can't even imagine. And it took me 3 seconds to type it. And I meant every word that I said. But it was so easy for me, you know, to just reach out for 2 seconds and say, hey, you matter. I care about you. Thank you for your support. I'm going to support you back. And what it meant to her was, like, insane. It was, she was, like, over the moon about it. And, like, people ask me all the time, like, does it ever get annoying when people ask for pictures? I'm like, no. It takes 2 seconds to take a picture. Does it get dangerous sometimes? Sure.
Like, it can get dangerous sometimes.
Sometimes you have to move on. Like, sometimes you can't stay in one place.
Yeah, and that's a safety thing for everybody, not just you.
Yeah, no, seriously. But, and, you know, some days we're tired, some days we can't handle it. But, I mean, almost every time people ask me that, I just go, no. If I saw someone who I really admired, I would want a picture. I would want to talk to them for a second. So that's the thing. You just got to look at it from the other person's perspective. And that goes for a lot of things. Just look at it from the other person's perspective and you'll get a better understanding of them and yourself. But yeah, just, and that's one of our responsibilities. Like, we chose that.
Yeah.
You know? We chose this life. We chose to be the kid on TV. And we enjoy every second of it. So, what comes with that is what comes with that. And you can't turn your back on that. The people who support you, who keep you on the air. you gotta let them know that you appreciate them. But it really surprises me when talking about the question again.
Yeah.
Just the kind of impact that you have on people and how it means so much to just, in 2 seconds, take a quick picture. I put my arm around somebody, I smile, and that, like, gets them through the rest of their week. Like, it's crazy.
It's beautiful to be able to make that kind of a difference.
It's insane. You get jaded a little bit. Like, there are times where you're like, I'm just taking pictures, but certain people remind you, like, hey, listen, you mean a lot to my life. And that's when you sit back and go, dang, I did something really good, apparently. Like, I was just doing my job, but that, yeah. I mean, it means a lot to people. So that will always, for the rest of time, probably surprise me.
That's beautiful. So, challenges. Have you had any challenges in the course of doing all this?
Of course. Of course. Yeah. I mean, I think challenges is what makes sort of your ups even greater, you know, your downs. That's sort of only place to go is up, right? I've had plenty of challenges, and I think actually, because I was just talking about fans and whatever, for a couple years on Jesse, I did not know how to handle that at all. What I just said was almost flipped on its head for a long time for me because I didn't know what it meant and why people pointed. And I didn't like when they stared at me. I didn't like when they whispered about me. I didn't like when they came up to me. Like, it all made me very uncomfortable. And for a while, I was like, I don't think I want this. I don't know that I can handle this. This is very... And it came down to, like, the simplest stuff. Like, you know, my parents would say, hey, I'm going to the grocery store. Do you want to come pick up, you know, pick some stuff out? I'm like, no, I'm okay. Like, I don't feel like getting recognized. I don't feel like dealing with that right now. So... For a long time, well, maybe like 2 years, I was very much like, I don't know how I'm going to handle this. You know, my life is very different now. I was a year ago playing basketball at school, after school with my friends. Like, that's what it was. That was my life. And now everywhere I go, people are looking at me and like, I'm this thing. You know what I mean?
Well, you become objectified at a certain level when you become famous. People treat you like you're not a real person.
They literally treat you like an animal in a zoo.
Yeah, or an object. You're a thing.
Yeah,
you're not
oh my God.
Really real.
That's a great way to put it because, and I feel like when I was a kid, I don't know if I let it happen or because I was a kid, they just didn't respect me as much as they do now. Like, now I get, like, hey, my kid really likes your show. Like, thank you for doing that. Like, or, you know, oh my gosh, I used to watch you as a kid. Like, you know, all these things. And they're really nice and, like, I love it now. But back then, I think older people just felt like I owed them something or something. It was, like, this weird, like, you're a kid, I'm an adult, take a picture with my kid. Like, that's how it was. They never really said, like, hey, sorry to bother you, you know? It was just sort of like, hey, you're that kid, right? Like, that's sort of what it was. And I hate, that was the worst. That, like, sends chills on my spine. Like, because, like, if you go to a zoo, literally, if you go to a zoo, and you're sitting there and you see the cage and, you know, zebras or whatever, you point and you talk about it and you take pictures. That's what I felt like.
You talk about the zebra in front of the zebra.
Yeah. You talk about the zebra in front of the zebra.
Yeah.
You point at the zebra. You point at the stripes.
Yeah.
You take a picture of the zebra.
Yeah.
All without the zebra really knowing, or without the zebra's, I guess, consent, whatever.
Permission. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I felt like. I would sit at a table with my family at dinner, and I would see a family two tables down, and they would be talking about me. They would be looking over at me, constantly pointing, and I felt like an object. I really did. And that sucked. That was the worst. I've come to terms with that now, and I still get that a little bit. And when I do get stuff like that, I just remind them that I'm a human. Like, when people are staring at me or, like, sneaking, like, that's the funniest thing to me. When they sneak a photo,
yeah.
Like, I don't know that they're taking a picture right now.
That's Dev's favorite.
Joke. That's so funny, man.
Like, come on, man.
Like, really? Like, I see you, but it is what it is. But, like, the other day I was sitting outside eating at some restaurant, and some dude, so obviously without my permission, came up as I'm eating and took a picture of me. And I put my fork down, and I just posed. I literally, like, put my arms out and, like, smiled. And he was so embarrassed.
Yeah.
And you don't even realize what you're doing until you see the other person react the way they do. Like, he didn't even know, like, he didn't know how that was rude or, like, he probably shouldn't have been doing that. He should have asked me for it. He didn't even think about it. And right when I posed and he saw me pose and he was caught red-handed, he turned red and he was like, you could see it click in his mind that he was like, oh, that's probably not cool. Like, and I don't like to, you know, say like, hey man, that's not cool.
No.
Whatever. Like, it is what it is. There's so many pictures of me on the internet that, like, are ugly and, like, you just can't even, you can't control that. Like, you gotta let that go. So whatever. But, and right when he saw me do that, he sort of was embarrassed and also grateful that I posed for him. Like, it was the weirdest thing. I just really, you know, I have fun with it now because that's all you can do. When it's a part of your life and you can't, there's no way to escape it, you can hide from it as long as you want. That's just going to make it worse. Just live your life and, you know, people are going to be weird and rude and awkward. And I've gotten mothers who have asked me to kiss their daughters on the cheek.
Oh my gosh. That's
and,
wild.
And, like, think about that. Like, if you ask anybody in any other scenario
any
to
other
do that.
Stranger.
Any other, I mean.
Because you're a stranger.
That
they
is
don't feel like you are, but you are.
That's completely out of bounds. That's completely a no-no.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what you do. But they feel like they know me,
yeah.
And they sort of feel like they own you.
Yeah. Well, there's a sense of, I mean, it's really funny. When you're in somebody's living room,
mm-hmm.
It's like you're in their house.
Yeah.
Night after
night.
For years.
I get told so many times, people say, oh, I feel like I know you, because
mm-hmm.
you've just been around. That's,
yeah.
Yeah, it's.
it messes with their sense of boundaries, I think. Because they feel like they know you, so it should be okay. But the truth is they don't.
No, they don't know anything about... Really, honestly, like...
You're not Luke.
No, I'm not Luke. I'm not 11 anymore.
You're not Carlos.
I don't live in New York.
Yeah.
Or on the Isle of the Lost. Like, I just don't. I live in Sherman Oaks, and, you know, but they have no concept of that sometimes, or understanding of that, and that's okay. Like,
yeah.
It's actually really nice when, like, little kids come up to me and say, wait, where's dude, the dog?
It's so cute.
It's really actually like, oh, that's real. That's really real.
I'm going to take that and I'm going to jump somewhere completely sideways right now. I just want to just share with you how charming I find it that you and Boo Boo met when you were children. In dance class.
I've known Boo Boo since I was like 4. Like 5, maybe.
How beautiful and cool
is
that?
It's crazy. It's such a small world. It is such a small world. Like, it really boggles my mind, actually, how intimate our circle is. Because we know everybody. Like, even if you don't know somebody, you know of them, and they know of you. And when you see them, like, at an event, you just feel like you know them, because they're just around the same places as you, and that's just what it is. But yeah, isn't that strange?
Yeah, it's really neat.
We just... And again, dancer becomes an actor. Like, and my other best friend, who I've known the same amount of time, and Boo Boo and him actually know each other from the same dance company... is on Mech X4, a Disney XD show.
That's crazy.
Yep. And then there's another guy who knows, his name is, my friend on Mech X4 is Raymond. There's another guy who knows me and Raymond, and we were in the same dance crew for a long time, and he was just on Marvel, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah, dancer becomes an actor, super small world, everybody knows everybody.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, and I was actually talking with Paul Becker last week.
Yeah.
And that was really, really fun.
Yeah, I bet.
Right? And he starts out as a dancer, and we were talking about how few guys there are in dance. And
yeah, it's a problem.
It is a problem.
It's a problem.
If you're a good dancer, and you're a guy, and you have any sort of drive at all, and work ethic, and you're nice to work with, I mean, oh my gosh, the door is so open to you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's, dancers, like, here's the thing about dancers. I have such a passion for dance, but I understand, too, that by the time I'm 30, that career would be over, first of all. And second of all, people in Hollywood, people who employ dancers, don't actually appreciate them the way that they should. They don't pay them the way that they should. I don't want to, like, call out anybody right now, but I'm going to. I did an Ice Cube music video when I was, like, 12. No, that's a lie. Like 10. It was before Jesse. I did an Ice Cube music video. And we didn't get paid or fed.
Whoa.
We were dancers. We didn't get paid. We didn't get fed. It was hard to get water on that set. Like, it was the worst.
Oh my god.
It was
obviously non-union, but then
non-union.
Yeah, obviously.
Which is completely obvious. But, and the craziest thing is, dancers are so passionate about it, and passionate about music, and, like, it was an Ice Cube music video. It was like, yeah, we'll do an Ice Cube music video for free. Heck
and
yeah.
And we'll be back tomorrow.
Literally. No, I kid you not. And dancers are the greatest people. Like, a person who is a dancer and continues to be a dancer has no care for how much they get paid, what their body's gonna be like in 10 years. Like, they just do it because they love it. And that's why dancers are so fun to be around.
Mm-hmm.
On Descendants, we had 30 dancers. I have a relationship with almost all of them still, because they're just the coolest people. And they're so passionate about their craft. Like, and they're disciplined. And, like, literally, they're just... I really look up to dancers. I really look up to dance.
That's what people, I think, don't understand watching a movie like Descendants. They see the main characters,
mm-hmm.
they've got the storylines, mm-hmm. all that. They yep. focus on the main characters.
Yep.
Behind the main characters, there's maybe 30 dancers mm-hmm. or something. Mm-hmm. And these people are as much a part of the experience for the actors as anybody is. Like they're as much a part of any of it. They're as important a part of any of it,
yeah.
like as humans,
yeah.
as anybody.
Yeah.
And they're kind of seen in the background. They're mm-hmm. not really background, they're dancers.
Right.
But they're integral, and they're integral to your experience. I mean, I know Dove feels the same way.
Completely.
You know.
My favorite part of filming both movies, Descendants and Descendants 2, is that 3-week period in the very beginning where all you're doing is dancing with the dancers, with Kenny and with Tony in this instance, and you just go and you're stretching with these people and you're getting physical therapy with these people and you're eating with these people and you're just doing everything with these people.
Yep.
And you just become so close. And there's really like, but like I said, man, dancers are some of the most passionate and open-minded and like just the best people to be around. And that's, and I'm a dancer.
Mm-hmm. You are.
And I, you know, I know a lot of dancers. A lot of dancers. Like, I would say I know, like, legends, like, in a lot of different dance communities. And I have never felt more at home than, like, stretching with a bunch of other dancers, and you're just in your element, and there's just something about that that is really amazing. I love dance, like I really do, and I miss it a little bit, but yeah, man, that's one of the best parts about that experience.
Well, I can't wait to see you do more, because it's such a joy. Mm-hmm. It's a true joy to watch you dance. I mean, you're just so good.
Thank you.
You know,
that's what I did.
Yeah.
For a long time, and I love it so much still, and I think you can see that. Like
it when shows.
When I dance, I'm just having a ball the whole time.
It totally it's shows. Great. If you weren't an actor or a performer of any kind.
Ooh, good one.
Okay, I know where you're gonna go.
I was just gonna say.
No, okay. I'm not letting you off the hook.
Nice.
If you weren't a performer of any kind, uh-huh. or involved in the industry.
Yeah, good
so
one.
You're not going to go into production or directing now.
Yeah.
What else do you think you might do?
Man, that's like the hardest
you're
question.
Like, well, I could produce or direct.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, maybe that's
no.
a fair answer.
No.
I don't have to be like totally.
No. This is good. This is a challenge. Honestly, I. Oof, I think, wow.
You can't even get your head outside the industry.
I'm just so, we've also been talking about it for an hour, but I'm so immersed in the industry that it's hard to think about something else, but I love basketball. I think it'd be really fun to be like a play-by-play guy or something for the Lakers, like,
totally.
Or
yeah.
Some sort of sports analyst. I always call things, like when I'm watching ESPN, I'm always like, you know, this guy is this kind of player, and then the analyst says the same thing that I have just said. Yeah. So I feel like I'd be good at that, because that's another thing that I'm really passionate about, and I follow that a lot. So yeah, maybe something like that, and that again. That's still
it's
a
so
personality
kind of
on
industry.
TV. Like, I don't even know. Oh, no. I'm so bad at this. I just, whatever it is, I'm not working in a cubicle. Can't do it.
I can't even imagine.
I would just be fidgeting all over the place. I couldn't do that.
So, any advice for kids who want this life?
Just make sure that it's what you want. Because there's so many different things that you have to think about, and honestly, so many different paths. Like, I feel like, I'm sure that you've had interviews where people have given advice, like, the opposite of what I just did.
That's part of why I love this question.
Yeah, it's, like, the weirdest thing, because it depends on who you ask, and, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, but, I think everybody would say that you really just have to make sure that you are actually passionate about it, and for the right reason. If you're passionate about becoming famous, not a good deal. That's, first of all, you're probably not going to be famous if that's all you want. And second of all, if you do become famous, you're going to become one of those people, right?
Yeah.
But we all know who those people are.
Famous for the wrong reasons.
Right, exactly. So, honestly, just make sure that you are passionate about the craft, about, you know, actually working hard and everything that comes with it. And there are a lot of things that come with it. Just make sure that you're cool with all that. But if that is something that you really want to do, and it's something that I really want to do, and I know, I've been in it for a long time, more than half my life, and I'm 18, which is so crazy. But just stay persistent, because it doesn't come overnight. And make sure that you are at least trying new things, improving. Just make sure that you're not doing the same things over and over and over again. You know, it's very easy to get sides in an audition and whatever, and just sort of fall into like a method or like a certain way of doing things. Treat a script the way it should be treated. Every script is different. Every character is different. Don't play it the same way that you played your audition 2 days ago. You know? Really, just give the script the respect that it deserves, right? And yeah, I mean, if you don't book something in 6 months, if you don't book something in a year, if you don't book something in 3 years, just remember that you have a passion for it, and that's why you do it. And not for any other reason. Do it for yourself, you know? Don't do it for somebody telling you that it's a good idea, or because you don't want to work. Like, I see a lot of actors who get into it because acting seems easy. Acting seems like a good deal. Like, oh, you go on set and you say a couple lines. Go. Get out. Don't try to infiltrate.
Like, yeah, now.
Get out.
Yeah.
It is not easy. There's nothing about it that's easy. And so much of that is because there's so many things that are unknown. So many things that you can't control. And performers are passionate about this. We drive ourselves crazy. Talking about an audition after an audition is like, you will never see a person more passionate. Like, and honestly, for me, I just like try to like forget, because there's so many things that you wanted to convey and wanted to show that you didn't get a chance to in the audition, and you'll just pull your hair out. But that's all a part of the process. And when you are right for a character and right for a role, it'll happen. The stars will align and you will be able to do it. And that's what you always have to fall back on, is when the character is right, when the time is right, when everything lines up, it will work, you know? And I like to think, not that I'm really like a everything happens for a reason kind of guy, but at the same time, it kind of does. Like, that's sort of what it is. Like, if you're not supposed to play a character, you're not going to play that character. And even if you really love the character, you know, I'd much rather be said, you know, you're not right for this, than to be cast and still not be right for it and do a bad job.
Yeah, talk about a nightmare. That's not what you want.
That's the worst possible scenario.
Yeah.
So just trust the process, you know, and trust other people's opinions about you. Like, they're going to say, hey, you are great, but this is not right. Mm-hmm. This is not your role. And in that scenario, let it go. Let it be. You know?
That's beautiful. Anything else you'd like to share?
Yeah, follow me on my... No, I'm kidding.
No, we're about to go there.
Are we really?
We're about to go there. Yeah. I was just going to say.
That's so funny. Oh, my God. I don't care about that at all. Literally.
Yeah, I'm going to tell people anyway.
Thank you.
We'll go there in a second.
I was literally... Okay, that's really funny, actually.
So funny.
No, I would literally just say... just through everything and in any part of life, like if you're listening to this podcast right now and you don't really want to be an actor, or you don't want to be like, just whatever it is that you're doing in life, just make sure that you're staying true to yourself. That's like the most important thing. And actors have a hard time with that because we play characters and we're different people for half of the year. And like we do a lot of different things and have a lot of people pulling us a lot of different ways. And I'm so glad that I've been able to find this within myself. But if I feel that something is happening in my career where I'm not being myself, I shut it down, which is very important. And even if it will get me more followers, more famous, a better role, a better this, a better that, I don't care. I'm going to be myself because, frankly, that's all that you got is yourself.
Yep.
And when you lose yourself, you lose everything. So just be yourself, and that's it.
So wise. Thank you, Cam. So I'm going to say, how can people find you? So on, you just do Twitter and Instagram,
yeah,
right?
I don't do Facebook.
Okay. So on Twitter, you are?
At the Cameron Boyce is my Twitter, and then Instagram is the same, actually.
Yeah, you changed that.
It used to be gibberish, basically.
Yeah, it was really...
It was long, and yeah, it had a lot of different letters. Yeah, Instagram is the same. It's at the Cameron Boys.
So, at the Cameron Boys, thank you.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Much,
this was so
Cam.
Fun. I hope people take something from this. I think they will.
I think they will,
This
too.
Was great. This was good.
Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you enjoy this podcast, subscribe. Go to BonnieJWallace.com and sign up on the podcast page to get exclusive, inspirational stories and insider info sent to your inbox every week. If you need help figuring out just how to navigate the career of a young actor, buy my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, on Amazon. And for one-on-one coaching that can save you literally thousands of dollars and months and years of wasted time, book an hour consultation with me over Skype or in LA. Just go to BonnieJWallace.com and click on the consultation page. For about the same price of an hour with an acting coach, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. Thanks. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.